want to welcome you today and thank the Concordia Bell Choir for sharing their talents with us this morning. You have another opportunity to hear them ring their bells and gather for Christmas as the United Methodist Women invite you to their Christmas gathering this Tuesday in Fellowship Hall at 7 p.m. This week we begin the Advent season with lighting the candle of hope. One way to take this hope with you and spread to others is with a Mud Love bracelet from Concordia's youth group. The bracelets carry messages of hope, love, peace, and many other things that you can choose from. They are available for $8 from any of our youth, or you can buy them from the church office. We encourage you to invite any friends and neighbors, family, or anybody throughout the Advent season to Concordia. Please take one of the Angels Among Us Advent season schedule and information brochure with you today if you'd like to share that with somebody. During these weeks of Advent, we will be talking about those who have been carriers of God's message of good news. We, along with the angels of old, are also carriers of God's message of good news. If you have your phones turned on, I invite you to silence them now, but keep them handy, taking photos if you want, sending out messages and tweets of things you hear and experience in the worship with the hashtag Do Not Be Afraid or hashtag More Hope as one of the ways you carry God's good news of hope.
We're going to be learning some, we're going to be singing some new songs, just short ones, during Advent. And Linnell is going to play it and we are going to respond. And so the first one is the words, Do Not Be Afraid, four different times. Would you play the first one, Linnell, and then we will sing it back to you. Okay. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And when that comes up during the service, we'll have the music up here with the words. Modern technology is wonderful that it helped us to do that. And then also, one of the recurring refrains that we will be singing during Advent is from the song Angels Among Us that was popular a few years ago. And Linnell is going to play it through once, then any of us who know it are going to respond. The words will be up there when we, in front of us, when we sing it during the service. Take a deep breath, one of those cleansing, relaxing breaths. Okay. There's angels that appear in the gospel, in Luke's gospel, a number of times, and those appearances are all related to Jesus' birth. Those angels would have been comfortable in our time with our tweets and our hashtags, because their messages were often very short. Do not be afraid, is what they said. As we look at the stories of these winged messengers, we're going to look at Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, and shepherds. We'll contemplate what those messages can offer us that will fly in the face of a culture of fear and bring more hope. We begin with an angelic visit to Zechariah today. It was just an ordinary day at the temple, and it was his priestly turn to go into the Holy of Holies to make sure that everything was prepared. It turned out to be quite different than what he expected when the angel showed up. We are invited to come and see this new thing which God is doing. And Tom is going to introduce us to this next song.
Our opening hymn this morning, if you were able to be able to stand and join in with us, is called Come All Ye Faithful, one of the traditional carols of the season. It's found in your red hymnal on page 234. We will play the introduction, and then I'll cue when to sing. So you're singing verses 1, 2, and 4. Okay?
1, 2, and 3.
1, 2, and 3.
Thank you. There are angels among us that may not meet the eye. There are messages of hope coming from a choir on high. But don't just look up, for the way God works is to plant more hope right here on earth, just like it was with Jesus' birth. There are angels among us bringing hope on earth. In the ordinary moments of his life, when all seemed normal, an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah. All hope of progeny was gone. This yoke was not easy, and the burden was not light, for a gray sadness and a black hopelessness consumed the man who would never hear a child call him father. With an angel's word, "Do not be afraid," God breaks in and all things change.
Holy, living God, blessed Jesus, guiding spirit, alight us with your flame of hope this day. Grant us openness to hear your message. Grant us courage to be your messengers in the world, creating more hope in the midst of fear. And with the angel messengers above us, among us, and within us, we sing. Please take a moment now to pass the hope of Christ with your neighbors. For each time we connect with one another, hope grows.
Join together in surely the presence of the Lord. So come on up, or come on down, come to the front of the church. What? Are you sitting on the feathers? What are the feathers doing here? I bet they came from sheep. You can sit on them. You think they came from sheep? Okay, maybe they're from a bag. Maybe they're from the turkeys that we had for Thanksgiving. No, I don't think so. What do the feathers remind us of? Why God?
Because
Okay, because the pigeon was came down upon Jesus when he was baptized. Okay, so what if, when we see pictures of angels, what do they usually have on their wings? What are their wings? Feathers, that's right. So that's what we're thinking about, is those wings of the angels and the feathers that come with them. Okay, during this season now, we're going to be talking about angels every week. Okay, so there's going to be a little bit to do with feathers. And what the angel brings, what did we just read about what the angel brings? Hope, that's right. Okay, do you ever hope for something? Okay, what do you hope for?
Snow days,
okay. We're into that season, aren't we? What do you hope for? You hope for presents? Okay. Well, let me tell you something about hope. And I don't know if we can do anything about this, Anna, because when we hope, there's something that we do along with it. Okay? When we hope for something, we prepare for that to come. Okay, so if I hope that someone's going to come to my house, I prepare for it. How do I prepare? By putting on my clothes. That's one thing I do. Okay. What I also do, yeah? I clean the house. That's right. And so I've got a feather to do the cleaning that I need to get done. Would you help me clean? I make lunch. Okay, yeah, okay. Okay. Okay, so if we hope for a snow day, can we do anything about it? No, we've just got to prepare. We've got to get ready. Do you think of snow with those? Okay, so now what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to make a little nest and put the feather, or more than one feather. Okay? Okay, so I want you to hold one, and I want you to hope for something that you can do, that you can get ready for that to happen. Okay? What do you hope for?
Snow days.
I hope. You hope? Is there something you can do to prepare for that?
Put up the Christmas tree.
Run around the house. Does that help you prepare for presents?
No.
No. Okay. Okay, so what we're going to hope for, though, is something that we can do something about it. So if Santa can't come until we have cookies and milk set out,
yep.
Are we going to help that happen? There's something we can do about it.
Cookies.
Huh?
Putting out cookies.
Carrots. And carrots? Santa likes carrots, too.
No, for the reindeer.
Oh, for the reindeer. Oh, I thought that Santa was eating, making healthier choices these days. Okay. Okay, now I want you to repeat after me. You can have one feather when you leave today. Okay, let's pray. Okay, I want you to pray with me now. Thank you, God. We don't have everyone's attention here. Okay, thank you, God. For your message of hope, give us wings to share your message with all the people in our world. Amen. Okay, thank you. Now, if you're going to be going downstairs, you're going with Lisa today. Zechariah. Elizabeth, where are you? Come on down.
To
To understand the life of Jesus, I must first give you some background history events that occurred when Herod ruled Judea for the Roman Empire. Zechariah was serving as a priest in the temple in Jerusalem those days, as his fathers had before him. He was a member of the priestly division of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was of priestly lineage of Aaron, Moses' brother. They were good and just people in God's sight, walking with integrity in the Lord's ways and laws. Yet they had this sadness. Due to Elizabeth's infertility, they were childless, and at this time, they were both quite old, well past normal childbearing years. One day, Zechariah was chosen to perform his priestly duties in God's presence according to the temple's normal schedule and routine. He had been selected from all the priests by the customary procedure of casting lots for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to enter the sacred precincts of the temple. There he burned sweet incense while outside a large crowd of people prayed.
Praying.
Suddenly, Zechariah realized he was not alone. A messenger of the Lord was there with him. The messenger stood just to the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was shocked and afraid, but the messenger reassured him.
Zechariah, calm down. Don't be afraid. Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. Your wife is going to have a son, and you will name him John. He will bring you great joy and happiness, and Mary and many will share your joy at John's birth. This son of yours will be a great man in God's sight. He will not drink alcohol in any form. Instead of alcoholic spirits, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from the time he is in his mother's womb. Here is the mission. He will turn many of the children of Israel around to follow the path of the Lord their God. Do you remember the prophecy about someone to come in the spirit and power of the prophet Elijah? Someone who will turn the hearts of the parents back into their children. Someone who will turn the hearts of the disobedient to the mindset of the just and good. Your son is the one who will fulfill this prophecy. He will be the Lord's forerunner, and one who will prepare the people and make them ready for God.
How can I be sure of what you're telling me? I'm an old man, and my wife is far past the normal age of women to bear children. This is too hard to believe.
I am Gabriel, the messenger who inhabits God's presence, and I was sent here to talk with you and bring you this good news. Because you didn't believe my messages, you will not be able to talk. Not another word, until you experience the fulfillment of my words.
Meanwhile, the crowd at the temple wondered why Zechariah hadn't come out of the sanctuary yet.
I wonder why Zechariah hasn't come out of the sanctuary yet.
It wasn't normal for the priest to be delayed so long. When at last he came out, he was making signs with his hands to give the blessing, but he couldn't speak. They realized he had seen some sort of vision. When his time on duty at the temple came to an end, he went back home to his wife. Shortly after his return, Elizabeth became pregnant. She avoided public contact for the next 5 months.
I have lived with the disgrace of being barren for all these years. Now God has looked on me with favor. When I go out in public with my baby, I will not be disgraced any longer.
When the time was right, Elizabeth gave birth to a son. News about the Lord's special kindness to her had spread through her extended family and the community. Everyone shared her joy, for after all these years of infertility, she had a son. As was customary, 8 days after the baby's birth, the time came for his circumcision and naming. Everyone assumed he would be named Zechariah, like his father.
No, we will name him John.
That name is found nowhere in your family. Zechariah, what do you want the baby's name to be?
He motioned for a tablet and he wrote, "His name is John." Everyone was shocked by this breach of family custom. They were even more surprised when, at that moment, Zechariah was able to talk again. And he shouted out praises to God. A sense of reverence spread through the whole community.
Wow!
In fact, this story was spread throughout the hilly countryside of Judea. People were certain that God's hand was on this child, and they wondered what sort of person John would turn out to be when he became a man. When Zechariah's voice was restored to him, he sang from the fullness of the Spirit a prophetic blessing. The Canticle of Zechariah is number 208 in the red hymnal, or the song will be printed on the screen as well. Bless the Lord God of Israel, because he has come to help and has delivered his people.
He has raised up a mighty Savior for us.
for us?
In his servant David's house.
Just as he said through the mouths of his holy prophets long ago, he has brought salvation from our enemies and from the power of all those who hate us.
He has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and remembered his covenant.
The solemn pledge he made to our ancestor Abraham.
He has granted that we would be rescued from the power of our enemies so that we could serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness in God's eyes, for as long as we live.
You, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way.
You will tell his people how to be saved through the forgiveness of their sins.
Because of our God's deep compassion, the dawn from heaven will break upon us
to give light to those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide us on the path of peace.
One of my sisters, when she married, hoped to have children. After 10 years, when they had no children, they went through in vitro fertilization. And what I hear is that those hormones just do horrible things to a woman's body. But women who want a child, or couples that want a child, will do that because having a child is so worth it. My sister and her husband used all of their savings on in vitro and had no child. They talked about adoption, and we're going through that process, and I don't know the reason, but for some reason, that option was closed to them as well. My sister and her husband learned to accept that they would not have a child. I remember the pain that they went through. I remember the loss of hope that became despair. Now, they've been married for 30 plus years, so they have gone through that, but having never had a child. And they have had boats, and they have had two houses at a time, one close to work, the other on the river. When people used to comment on our two children, my ex-husband would say jokingly, "I could have had a boat." But my sister and her husband had a boat and an extra house. They would have taken a child any day. Zechariah and Elizabeth lived that hopelessness, knowing that there would be no child. And then an angel of all things comes, shows up in the Holy of Holies in the temple and tells Zechariah that he and Elizabeth are going to have a son. And he said, what we do when we think something is not possible, he said, but I'm old. And Gabriel responded, "But I'm Gabriel." Which one has more power? Old or Gabriel? What we've learned is that it's Gabriel. God through Gabriel. The unexpected happened to them. And when that happened, she was expecting. Imagine that. 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. It's past that time for us. And an angel of the Lord comes to you or your husband and says, "Now's the time." Wouldn't we say, "But I'm old, not only am I old, she's old." We're too old. And God's response is, "But I'm God." One of the things that this teaches us is that our buts, all of our but are not the answer when God comes calling. When God comes calling and asks something of us, our response is to trust that God can make it happen. One of the other things that this teaches us today is that we live everyday ordinary lives. I would say, you know, even those in power live everyday ordinary lives. We all live everyday ordinary lives. But when God enters in, the ordinary becomes extraordinary. When we have the divine presence with us, then nothing is as usual. And what we are preparing ourselves for this season is God coming into the world, having done that. God coming into the world, doing that with us and for us now. And Christ returning. That reality makes the ordinary extraordinary and makes the common divine. We are invited into that again this season. The divine breaking into this time and this space in our lives. Amen. As we come to our prayer time this morning, because we do not have the little blue cards passed up front yet, I'm going to ask us to bow our heads, raise our hands, however it is that you pray. And there'll be two different times that I will offer
the opportunity for you to name names or situations. And I will be silent at that time, and so if you want to name someone, and then later a situation, you're invited to do so. Let us pray. Gracious God, in this season of hope, we can think of situations and people who need hope today or tomorrow. And so we speak their names, trusting that you hear. We pray for hope for we hear the message of hope. Do not be afraid. In this moment, we give thanks for all of the ways that we have experienced God's presence among us in words and actions that bring hope in the midst of despair. We pray for those involved in the many missions and ministries at Concordia. For all who proclaim your reign on earth, we join their refrain, do not be afraid.
To you and me in our
Paul's letter to the Hebrews includes a wonderful word. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Or if you do, something will fall down and make noise. No, it doesn't say that. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. As we enter this season of Advent, it is right and good that we gather at the table of Jesus Christ, whose ministry was centered on showing hospitality, inviting us all, no matter whether we feel at home in our faith or at times feel like strangers, to know the grace of God that is already and always waiting for us, if we but open to it. Let us set aside any hesitation, any obstacle to the invitation. In this silence, we offer to God our confession of the ways that we turn away from the fullness of love. Know this, the things you have confessed before God, and even those things you have no words for at this moment, are all being lifted away on the wings of God's love. Be assured of your freedom as forgiven and beloved children of the most gracious God. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen.
I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our toughest hours, show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the beginning, you set everything in motion, creator of heaven and earth. With bold ingenuity, you splashed the sky with light and stars, sun and moon, wind and clouds, rainbows and winged ones. With a word, you brought forth the waters, the waves, the mountains and valleys. And you called forth our lives from the dust and called it good. So we proclaim this ancient song with all of the saints and angels. Holy, holy, holy God, power of heaven. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. You sent your son Jesus, your message made flesh, to dwell among us. Harbinger of hope, prince of peace, cup of joy, bread of love. Through Jesus, you gave birth to your church and sealed a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself for us, he took bread, he gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. When the supper was over, he took the cup. Again, he gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And as we anticipate the birth of hope anew, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Touch us, O Holy Spirit, with your transforming power. Open us to your promise of resurrection from fear and death. In partaking of this bread and cup, make us a people ready as your body in and for an anxious world. Let us become your messengers of hope in all that we say and do. Make us one in this purpose, O God. Make us one in your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
And deliver us from evil.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. That God offers to us is prepared. In the United Methodist Church, all are invited to come to the table. You don't need to be a member, you don't need to be a United Methodist, all are invited to this table. We do have gluten-free wafers if anyone wants those. I invite our servers to come forward. You will be coming forward down the middle aisle. There will be two rows of you. Come forward, receive the bread and the cup, and then go around to the side. And don't want to forget this. And we're inviting you to place your offering in the plate after you receive communion. Who's going to be? Somebody needs to fall. Bread of life. Bread of life.
other place. Each week during Advent, we're going to be starting our worship with an Advent hymn. And as we close, we're going to do so with a Christmas carol. And I know that traditionally the church waits until Christmas to sing these, but if you're at the mall and or in a store, you're hearing them already anyway. So will you turn up above here for Hark the Herald Angels Sing?
Sinners rend and sign.
Also during these weeks, I'm going to give you a mission, and should you choose to accept it, it's a mission with a message. In your bulletins this morning, there was a little cardboard picture. I'm inviting you to be hashtaggers of hope, to share this meme for the week from our church. You can go on our Facebook page and do it that way. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. For those of you who has those kind of accounts, and for those for whom that is Greek, you can take it with you and just give it to someone. As we go in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now I would like you all to turn towards the middle and sing to each other. So the left side, which is this, will sing it at first, and then the right side will sing. Do not be afraid.